Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. As you know, a number of us did our parish pilgrimage yesterday. I have no idea how many. The number kept changing every time I heard it, but last I heard it was 55 people, so 50-ish. 50-ish. I don't know. But as we went throughout the diocese, to the two servant of God whose causes are open for canonization. And as I was praying over their tombs, over Charlene Richard and Uncle Pelafique's tombs, in my own personal prayer, not things that I shared with the pilgrims at the time, but there was something that came to me for both of them, and I suppose it was because this homily was working in the back of my head, that both of them exercise two virtues that are contrary, or the cures to the two capital sins I wanted to talk about today. So Charlene, as you know, died at the age of 12. She found out that she had leukemia and had like 2 weeks of treatment before she passed away. But what struck me so much, a lot of people are struck by her bravery, and she was certainly very brave. What struck me so much was her meekness. So meekness is the virtue that's the opposite of wrath, of anger. And I know, in my life, when my mom got cancer, the very first thing I said was, it's not fair. And how many of us, when something bad happens to us, we scream, it's not fair. And we resent those who tell us, we resent God, we resent those who are healthier, we resent those who seem to have it all together. There is a anger that poisons our soul as soon as real tragedy happens. And that anger was not found in Charlene Richard. And if anybody could have said it was unfair, and if anybody would have been expected, a 12-year-old girl. They're not normally known for their psychological resilience, right? And she just handled it. And so far from turning in on herself in self-pity and resentment, she went out and visited other patients in the hospital. And that was amazing to me. And the other one was an Uncle Pelafie, who showed great humility. Now, I preached about humility a few weekends ago, but, you know, he was a college-educated man in a small town. He did a tremendous amount of work. He could have easily expected people to acknowledge that work, to acknowledge his giftedness, to acknowledge his credibility, to acknowledge his standing, and he refused. Perpetually refused. Lived in a shack with like one light bulb, refused a car ride, would always walk. They tried to take pictures of him, he would always hold up the newspaper in front of his face. I understand that part, I get that, like he and I are right there. But just his complete commitment to humility in a very concrete way, where he could have expected acknowledgement. Not only was he not upset when he was not acknowledged, he fled it. He fled acknowledgement. And so I want to talk about those two capital sins, the two capital sins of the mind, right? The two capital sins that come from mental goods, the pride of life, the two capital sins of pride and wrath. And we see that St. Paul today in his second reading really warns us against these two. Explicitly, right? He says, do not grumble, as some of them did, and whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care lest he fall. Right? So don't be wrathful and don't be prideful. Right? And I want to talk about that second part first, because I think that's what Jesus is getting at in the gospel today. That you look at others and like, oh, see, their life is falling apart. Do you think they're worse sinners than you? Yeah, clearly. Look, Lord, their life is falling apart. Like, no, that's not how this works. Right? And I want to tell you, and I'll try to be as brief as I can. This might shock you for a second, but follow me on this. I want to tell you why I no longer consider myself a conservative priest, even though I have, like, complete conservative values. So, let me explain. When I was in seminary, coming out of public school, I consider myself something of a moderate liberal. When I made my consecration to Mary, became more faithful to the teaching of the church, And then kind of fell in with this idea of like, we're the new young conservative priests. We're going to fix the church from all the crazy liberals. We're going to fix it. And I became very, very sure of myself. Not because of anything I had done or because of any quality that was in me, but because I belonged to the right group. And I went into ministry secure in that unearned certainty that we were the solution to the church and that everything that had happened before us was terrible. Look at all the bad things that happened. Lord, clearly they were worse sinners than us. And then I started messing up too. And didn't have the success that I thought would come to me automatically simply by being a conservative priest. People didn't just flock to hear the honeyed words that dropped from my lips. But also I began to look at guys who considered themselves more liberal, and there were things that they did that were terrible, but then there were things that they were gifted at that I could never do. And I realized how stupid it was that I thought myself better than them. Not because of anything in me, but because of the group with which I identified. And I needed to take heed, because I thought I was standing firm, and in fact, I was on the precipice of falling. Now, you identify yourself however you want, I don't care, right? I'm saying for me, that's why I don't do it anymore. It had become a thing of an empty boast for me instead of something based on reality. And I had to learn that just because I was a priest didn't make me better than anybody else. Just because I graduated from a certain seminary didn't make me better than anybody else. Just because I was a conservative didn't make me better than anybody else. The only thing that made me better than anybody else was all the awesomeness that I have inside. No, the reality is, right, is that you can't just do that. You can't just puff yourself up with these ideas and think that you're better than the people that Pilate slew or the tower fell on. And that's the reality of pride, dear brothers and sisters. God reveals in the first reading, I am who I am. I am reality. And pride always relies on self-deception. On a story we tell ourselves about how wonderful we are that has little to no basis in hard reality. And I've told you this before, but people ask, what's the difference between arrogance and confidence? I tell them all the time, confidence is based in reality. If you ask somebody, what's the answer to this question? And they tell you, and they're like, are you sure? Well, they can be sure for one or two reasons. Either because they're sure that they're never wrong, or because they just looked up the answer to double-check themselves. One is arrogance, and one is confidence. Because one is based on reality. The saints were all confident. None of them were arrogant. They felt no need to live a lie about themselves. And so we want to root out the spirit of pride. Because I'm going to tell you this one more time. Pride is a lie we tell ourselves about ourselves. And it comes from the father of lies. And it comes from the father of lies. Okay, but the second thing I want to talk about today is the sin that I never commit, which is the sin of wrath. Okay. Never in my life have I been impatient. You all know this. You're very familiar with how meek and gentle and patient a man I am. The pilgrims yesterday knew it in particular. right? When I told them that if they weren't on the bus by 10:45, they would face the guillotine. It was perfectly fine, right? It's perfectly fine. But wrath, you know, I think sometimes, I was preparing for this homily, I think maybe I misspoke last weekend, where I said that our society was devoted to lust, and I was like, well, it was for a long time. I think we're moving more and more to being devoted to wrath, to anger, to hatred for one another, to always yelling, to always screaming. And in fact, we know, I mean, I'm sure you've read this, I've read this, it seems to be common knowledge today, that the algorithms that run our social media deliberately try to make us angry because it generates feedback, right? It generates engagement with social media. If you're angry at somebody, you're going to comment on their post. If you like their post, you'll probably just shrug and move on. We are an angry people. I'm an angry person. Now, anger is an emotion, and in and of itself, not a sin. Just like attraction is emotion. Just like finding food delicious is an emotion. But once it starts shading over into obsession and choices and reaction out of that emotion, that's when it becomes the sin of wrath. And that's why we distinguish the two. And that sin of wrath, whether you're yelling at somebody, whether you're judging somebody, whether you're scorning somebody, whether you're just so upset that anybody would say a cross word about you, as you can see, it's very closely connected to pride. And in fact, the fathers of the church said this. The vast majority of the time we express wrath, it's directly due to our pride. Because Thomas says that all the emotion of anger comes from a perceived injustice. And if you think the world owes you everything, then you're constantly perceiving injustice, right? I can't believe you didn't give me everything I wanted, right? That wrath, that anger. And one kind of result of that today, and again, this is very much in me, but I don't just see it in me, is how we treat the fig tree. How we treat the fig tree. From the gospel. And I want you to think about this. This is not a time to raise your hands. How many of you have given up on reasoning with them? Now, who is them? Will it depend on who you are? Them could be Trump supporters, them could be liberals, them could be crazy progressives, them could be arch conservatives, them could be whoever you think is dumb, okay? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have given up trying to persuade or reason with them and would rather just defeat them or eliminate them, if at all possible? This stupid fig tree hasn't borne fruit in 3 years. I'm gonna chop it down. I get to raise my hands, right? I mean, I think that all the time. I'm not going to tell you who I think this about. It's most people. These idiot people. I just wish they didn't exist. Mostly it's when I'm driving and people won't get out of the left lane. But like, these idiot people. And I don't even want to try to convince them anymore. I don't even think of them as being capable of being convinced. I am so secure in my superiority over them that I'd rather them be eliminated than reasoned with. And I don't mean dead. I just wish they would disappear. And that's not good. We're all people. Most of the time. We're all people. And we're all theoretically capable of reason. And when did we lay aside the idea that we should try to cooperate and dialogue and help others see the truth and maybe be taught ourselves rather than just write everyone off and chop down the fig tree. This mercy that the gardener shows, while still acknowledging that there will be consequences if the fig tree doesn't change. Like, look, at least give me another year. Let me keep trying. Let me keep trying. Let me keep talking. Let me keep offering arguments. Why is it exhausting the soil? Give it another year. Dear brothers and sisters, I think that wrath is present in a lot of us. And I think in society today, a lot of us have just written off large portions of humanity as incapable of being reasoned with. And that's not the gospel. And that's not the way of Jesus Christ. He talked to Pharisees, he talked to Sadducees, he talked to Herodians, he talked to tax collectors, he talked to prostitutes, he talked to everybody. He occasionally even talks to me. He doesn't write anybody off. Okay. He doesn't sit there and say we're all equally right either, but he gives people a chance to change. And in fact, one of the few times that we see him tease somebody or even insult somebody is whenever John and James are with him and they're about to pass through the town of Samaria and the town won't let them come in, and John and James says, "Call down fire from heaven to destroy it." And he's like, "Okay, sons of thunder," right? Which, you know, is funnier if I give you details that I won't, but it doesn't matter, all right? He mocked them. It's one of the few times he does. Because he saw them as little teapots that were overboiling. Just calm down. And sometimes I think we need him to say that to us too. We are so outraged all the time and so convinced that they can never change, that we'd rather call down fire from heaven or chop down the fig tree. And that's not the gospel. And so once again, I tell you that I've fulfilled my promise to you that as I talk about the seven capital sins, I'll make you miserable every weekend of Lent. Right? We do need to pray that we not grumble, that we not puff ourselves up, that we not think ourselves to stand secure, that we not think ourselves superior to others. But like the two great servants of God, that we practice meekness and humility to combat the two capital sins of the mind, wrath and pride. God bless you all.